Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Max Financial Services Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amrit Singh, Chief Financial Officer, Max Financial Services Limited and Max Life Insurance Company Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and we welcome you to the earnings call of Max Financial Services for the year ended March 31st, 2024. Our results were made available on our website a few minutes ago and also on the stock exchanges. As always, I'm joined by Prashant Tripathy, MD and CEO of Max Life Insurance. I will request Prashant to share key developments of the quarter and insights into 12 months' results.
Thank you, Amrit, and good evening to everyone. Thank you very much for taking out time for the call today. At the onset of FY24, we set our aspirations to increase our market shares, broaden our distribution network, finalize the Axis transaction, and achieve our targeted profitability metrics. I'm very happy to share that we have made significant strides in fulfilling these commitments through dedicated efforts and a steadfast dedication to serving both our customers and shareholders. To begin with, I would like to provide an update on the Axis transaction. On April 17th, 2024, Axis Bank infused 1,612 crores as planned by subscribing to 14.26 crore equity shares of Max Life on a preferential basis, resulting in the Axis Group's collective stake rising to 19.02%. This capital infusion not only strengthens our capital position and solvency margins but also reinforces our partnership with Axis Bank, paving the way for a more resilient and prosperous franchise. Additionally, Axis entities hold the option to acquire an additional 0.98% stake from Max Financial Services through a secondary transaction, which will take the overall stake of Axis Bank in Max Life Insurance to the planned 20%. I would also like to share an important development with you. I'd like to inform you that the Board of Directors of Max Life Insurance has approved the appointment of Mr. Munish Sharda, Executive Director, Axis Bank, and Mr. Arjun Chaudhary, Group Executive, Axis Bank, as additional directors on the Board of Max Life Insurance. Both have been nominated by Axis Bank as their representatives on the Board of Max Life Insurance, and they bring wealth of diverse experience to aid Max Life Insurance further in its ambitions. I think with their experience in financial services world, they will add a lot of value to our growth and our aspirations. Transitioning to our business updates, I would like to focus on the key strategic areas like I always do. Firstly, talking about predictable and sustainable growth by building distribution. Very happy to share that our full-year individual adjusted first-year premium sales experienced a robust growth of 16%, surpassing the private sector's growth rate of 8% by two times and total industry growth rate of 5% by more than three times, resulting in a market share increase of 61 basis points for FY24. In quarter four of FY24, we achieved a market share of 10.4% compared to 8.6% in quarter one, demonstrating consistent quarter-on-quarter market share gains. This growth also comes at the back of a very large March that we had as an industry last year. On the basis of APE, we have grown by 19%. This growth can be attributed to a 20% increase in the number of policies, which is more than two times of private average number of policy growth rates, primarily fueled by strong 28% growth in prop channels APE. Excluding one-off sales from last year, prop channels have grown by a remarkable 44%. Offline prop channels witnessed 18% growth on actual basis and 34% on normalized basis. Our agency channel experienced a noteworthy 54% surge in recruitment, establishing itself as the fastest growing agency amongst the top 10 players in the industry. Direct customer acquisition channels also enhanced their efficiency and ventured into new verticals, significantly contributing to overall growth. In the online channel, we maintained our leadership position. The online channel expanded by 79% in FY24, underscoring our capability to rapidly expand our digital business. Our banca channels, APE, experienced a growth of 12%, driven by all banca partners. It is noteworthy that we have consistently maintained our counter share in both of our major banca partners, namely Axis Bank at 70% and Yes Bank at 58% year after year. Furthermore, our group credit life business grew by 62%, contributing to an overall company-level APE growth of 19% in FY24. In terms of expansion of our distribution reach in FY24, we effectively onboarded 42 new partners, including 2 banks, 20 new group credit life partners, 14 online and offline brokers, and 6 corporate agents. We anticipate these partnerships to become a significant part of our total business in the upcoming financial year and going forward. Furthermore, we expanded our distribution network by establishing a representative office in Dubai. This strategic move extends our presence in the Gulf region, amplifies brand visibility, and provides a seamless approach for our non-resident Indian customers. In summary, our distribution strategy is in line with our growth forecast for the upcoming year, and we are highly confident in maintaining the momentum that we achieved so far in FY24. Product innovation was a key component of driving growth as well as our profitability. Our strategic commitments to becoming a premier product company in the industry drives us to continuously enhance our offerings. In FY24, we launched several innovative products across different segments, which facilitated secular growth, except for non-par savings impacted by high base effects. These product launches include the swag variant on par design with enhanced features focusing on liquidity, protection, and retirement. Step, which is a design in protection with industry-first features of cover continuance benefit. Swag Elite, featuring an industry-first design of guarantee endowment. Swag Pension, targeting the retirement category with differential industry-first options. A Super Rider, offering the option to receive a return of premium upon maturity. And Small and Mid-Cap Momentum Index funds launched to enhance savings mix in e-commerce. These launches, totaling 37 industry-leading interventions, have positioned us at the forefront of meeting customer needs, contributing to approximately 45% of new business sales in FY24. Furthermore, our emphasis on selected product segments is evident in the growth of our retail protection, health, and annuity segments, comprising 14% total APE in 12 months of FY24 and growing by 61%. This led to our individual new business sum assured achieving rank 3 in the private industry with a growth of 33% on full year basis ahead of industry growth rates. All these achievements culminated in achieving new business margin of 26.5% within our guided range of 26 to 27, right at the midpoint. In quarter 4 FY24, margins improved sequentially to 28.6% as operational leverage kicked in with seasonal trends. You would have also noticed that quarter on quarter our margin continued to improve from quarter 1, where we were close to 22%, to quarter 4, where we landed at 28.6%. Our margin outcomes are a result of calibrated approach to expanding market share. This involves active participation in the unit-linked market, contributing 35% compared to 27% last year, alongside the introduction of innovative product solutions that balance customer needs and shareholder outcomes. Moving forward, we anticipate to maintain our high growth, growing faster than industry, private industry, and gaining market share. And we expect our VNB growth to be in line or near about our APE growth. Customer obsession also yielded outcomes on the customer outcomes. Max Life has cultivated a customer-centric culture by embedding a focus on customer satisfaction throughout every stage of our value chain. This commitment has been recognized by our customers, who have ranked us number 2 among India's leading insurers for delivering best-in-class customer experience in the fourth edition of Hansa Research Research's prestigious CUES report. They have commended us for our products, digital support, streamlined documentation processes, and efficient policy issuance. Our culture extends beyond our mere transactions and policies, as evidenced by our consistently improving brand consideration scores, which positions us among the top brands in the sector. Furthermore, our exceptional claim paid experience ratio of 99.51 in FY23 reflects our steadfast dedication to our customers. We gauge customer loyalty through Net Promoter Score. We are pleased to report that we have witnessed a 4-point increase in our customer NPS, rising from 52 in March 23 to 56 in March 24. Our touchpoint NPS improved to 74, improving by 6 percentage points. And NPS, overall NPS in relationship increased by 2 points. Additionally, Max Life proudly maintains its leadership position in terms of 13th month persistency for the number of policies. Specifically, our 13th month persistency for regular or limited pay premium stood at the highest ever at 87%, an improvement of about 300 basis points. Our 61st month persistency was at 58% for the period ending March 2024, and across all the cohorts, we have witnessed reasonably significant improvements. Furthermore, our grievance incidence rate has improved by 20 points in FY24, underscoring the trust our policyholders place in Max Life. Talking about the other ingredients for our success, which is digitization for efficiency and intelligence, I'd like to share that our commitment to technology permeates various aspects of our operations, including product launches, prospecting, onboarding, and customer service. Embracing agile methodologies, we have achieved operational excellence and heightened efficiency. Our ongoing investment in leveraging AI and digital technologies to modernize legacy systems has resulted in the onboarding of significant new business with minimal human intervention in underwriting. This has substantially increased our capacity to process peak month business with minimal human resource augmentation. Additionally, migrating to our core policy admin system to the cloud has improved system performance by threefold. Our consistent focus on enhancing the e-commerce journey has led to an increase in purchase Net Promoter Score, which now rivals that of best-in-class digital native players. By leveraging generative AI, we have introduced Sales Genie, a virtual agent training companion for frontline sales, and launched several marketing and product campaigns. These initiatives have not only facilitated hyper-personalized communication, but also significantly reduced development time. These strategic initiatives empower us to operate more efficiently, make data-driven decisions, and enhance customer experience and adapt to evolving business landscape. In summary, our efforts to fuel growth have yielded results in line with our expectations in FY24, and you would notice that it is consistent with all the guidance that we provided throughout the year. We remain committed to augmenting our capacity and developing new business models to sustain, enhance our performance levels. With this comprehensive coverage of our business, I am now going to hand it over to Amrit, who will provide an update on our financial performance. Over to you, Amrit.
Thanks, Prashant. Just key financial metrics. MFSL consolidated revenue, excluding investment income, stands at 29,011 crores, a growth of 16% in FY24. Consolidated PAT for MFSL stands at rupees 393 crores. For Max Life, the gross premiums has grown by 17% to 29,529 crores, and renewal premium have also grown by 13% to 18,506 crores. Value of new business in FY24 stands at 1,973 crores versus 1,949 crores for FY23. The NBM for quarter four, a sequential improvement quarter on quarter, stands at 28.6, and for 12 months, we stand at 26.5%. Embedded value end of 31st March 2024 is 19,494 crores, with an operating ROEV of 20.2%. Policyholder OPEX to GWP is 13.8%, and Max Life profit after tax stands at 360 crores. With infusion of 1,612 crores of capital by Axis Bank into Max Life in the month of April. The solvency adjusted will stand around about 206% for Max Life, which is sufficient for us to drive a growth momentum. Additionally, with this infusion of capital, the embedded value will also be around 21,100 crores. Assets under management for Max Life has crossed 1.5 lakh crores during the quarter and are at around 1.51 lakh crores at the end of March 2024, an year-on-year growth of 23%. So overall, strong performance across financial and non-financial parameters. And at this point, we'll be very happy to take any questions you may have. And I'll request the moderator to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. A strong set of performance. A couple of questions. The first one is on embedded value walk. The non-operating variance, I presume it will be mostly economic variance, and that appears slightly negative. Now, if we look the way equity has behaved as well as the yield kind of a movement that you have given in slide 59, there should be some sort of a, you know, contribution from both the factors coming as a minor positive, maybe one or anywhere between 1 to 2% positive. But here it's negative. So it is something more than the economic variance and adjustment, what I am missing here. I mean, if you can clarify on that. And the second question is, I come to particularly the Q4 part of our gap results. I know that Max Life gap results, I guess, is still not out. Now, I understand, I mean, a large part of probably the gap of profit decline or rather turning to losses could be due to new business strain. But can you help? I mean, is this new business strain totally a reflection of product mix change only? Because, I mean, last year also you had a strong amount of non-par, typically again had high strain. So is it new business only due to new business strain? Is it a new business strain only due to product mix changes or, you know, a sort of a payout increases or any sort of a weakness in back book supply, Jonathan, if you can help. Thanks.
Thanks, Avinashji. I'll take this question. On non-operating variance, you're absolutely right. This is all economic variance in nature. And it's a mix of the proportion of equity that we hold and the debt portfolio that we have. So on the equity side, as the markets have moved up, we have also experienced positive variance, almost to the tune of around 550 crores as positive. But on the debt side, because as interest curves have moved up, the liabilities also have to be repriced, and there is a negative movement on the debt side, which kind of offsets each other to give a negative number of 54 crores of non-operating variance that you see for ourselves. And, you know, some bit of these variances are actually a bit of mix of the proportion of equity you have in ULIPs, the proportion of shareholder equity that you have, proportion of shareholder as an overall proportion of your EV, and proportion of, you know, group business and single premium business that you'll be carrying. So some of these factors actually have an interplay, but largely these are economic variants, transitory in nature, and, you know, these kind of come back because most of our portfolios hold to maturity. On your specific question on quarter four profits, and I think you are kind of ascribing to the decline that you are seeing, I think the predominant reason there for that decline is, and, you know, this is also linked to some bit of operating variance that you are seeing, where there is a negative operating variance, which has come out of some assumption tightening that we have done proactively as part of our regular annual business. So some bit of that negative element has kind of flown, in addition to the product mix aspect that you spoke of.
So this operating variance would be mostly around expenses or some, mortality persistency differences?
So it's from a mortality perspective, some bit of tightening on the group credit portfolio that we have done. And the second element of this is certain lapse in persistency assumptions that have happened across the portfolio. But I'll kind of say it's over long duration tightening that we have done, and it's a bit proactive at our end to be more conservative about it.
Okay. So in the EV, also the operating variance will have kind of some positive impact coming from maybe your persistency and all, and some negative from mortality and changes, mortality variances. Am I right?
So this assumption tightening is negative on both the sides that I spoke of, but obviously within the walk there are variances which are positive and negative, but that's a mix. For example, in operating variance we'll have some negative in our ULIP books, but overall it's I think the operating variance is the variance experience variance is largely flattish.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to request participants to please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. We take the next question from Supratim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So I'll just continue, you know, from the first participant's question. So on the negative operating variance, could you, you know, tell us what led to, you know, the mortality tightening on the group credit life book? You know, what made you, you know, tighten the estimates here? And typically, you know, how long an experience do you look at? Is it 2 years or 3 years before you tighten, you know, the estimates? If you could throw some color on that, that would be one. Two is, you know, in the last 1.5 years, you have formed several, you know, non-Axis Bank partnerships. If you could give us some color, what is, you know, the counter share, be it, you know, some NAB bank or, you know, DCB bank, and how are you looking at, you know, expanding, you know, the counter share in these banks? That would be very helpful. Thank you.
So I will take the second question first, and then I will request somebody to talk about the operating variances. We signed up 5 to 6 banks over last 1 year or so, and suffices to say that you know, of course we were the third or fourth or fifth player, so it takes a while actually to increase the presence and the counter share. But I will say the counter share varies between 8 or 9% to about 60% in different accounts. And at my personal level, I track whether our counter share is increasing or not month on month. And very happy to share that we have witnessed us consolidating our presence, increasing counter share by every passing month. So I'm very optimistic that as time passes, you know, that will become a potent source of revenue generation for Max Life Insurance, and our desire to partner with many more banks just continues. We will remain very aggressive on each one of them. We are leaving no stones unturned, either in terms of deployment of resources or product, and we are fairly aggressive on all the new banks that we are acquiring. Amrit, for you to talk about the operating variance.
Actually, you know, firstly, it's a very small number. It's only, you will see in our walk, 57 crores. This is our annual process. We do grow up our assumptions annually. And there is nothing, you know, out of the ordinary or unusual that I can call there for. As part of our regular process, the assumptions have been tightened.
Understood. And just one data keeping question. Could you let us know what is the, within the proprietary channel, what is the proportion of agency versus non, your website and other channels?
Actually, on the in our slide number 22 and 23, you can see, you know, we have provided a breakup of offline and online activities.
Okay. So offline is entirely agency, correct?
Yes. Offline is agency plus our direct selling teams, which are actually work on the customers whose agent have actually left the company, where the upsell and cross sell is done. So in some sense, it's quasi, you can call it, you know, agency itself, but it includes, in our parlance, is agency and direct channel, and online is commerce.
Understood. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Adarsh from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to check that there has been some, seems that there's a discussion on the surrender regulations again, right? December we had the draft, we had some clarification in March. So if you could share any feedback and what, you know, and I understand it's not yet out, but how would you mitigate if you see any changes in what was proposed in March?
Yeah, firstly, quite aligned to, you know, the regulatory push on creating value for the policyholders or customers. So, you know, quite aligned on that view. You know, it's premature for me, but I'm reasonably confident that overall, when the final guidelines come or, you know, the guidances come, it will create win-win for all the constituents. There is a consultative process which is currently going on, not concluded. So I will request that we just wait for the final guidelines to come out.
Got it, Prashant. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot and a great quarter.
Thanks, Adarsh.
Thank you. Next question is from Swarna Mukherjee from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. So, first question is on the margin side. So, I mean, on a sequential basis also, I think the mix has become slightly adverse with higher share of ULIP. I just wanted to understand the expansion that we are seeing in the margin profile. How much should we attribute to some kind of cost absorption, given that I think the fixed cost proportion would be lower in the fourth quarter? If you could you know, give some color on that, and how much maybe, you know, at a product specific level margin expansions are happening. So a little bit more detail on how we should read the margin expansion between the quarters. And secondly, on the structure simplification process, if you could give us some color on the timelines. So a small proportion of stake needs to be acquired by Axis, and then I think there was a process of reverse merger as well. So if you could give us some sense on, you know, what timelines should look at.
So overall, I think the margin profile to me improved quarter on quarter. Like I mentioned to you, every quarter the margin went up, peaking at 28.6%. Definitely year on year margin, you would, you know, like we were guiding all along, will come lower, predominantly because of two reasons. A, the mix on non-par going down, and B, the proportion of ULIP going up. However, typically in quarter four, our margins are highest because that's a higher scale quarter, and we do compute on the basis of actual cost of every quarter, and hence you will find typically that in quarter one our margins are lower and they increase by quarter four. I think while the ULIP proportion was going up, the overall pedal on driving protection, driving health, driving annuities remained a focus area. You know, we didn't mention, but we also drove rider quite aggressively. So overall, these product categories helped us optimize our margins as we went along, despite higher share of ULIP. And the objective was to create a good balance between sales growth and margin outcomes. And I think we successfully did that. So those are reasons. On your question on structures, you know, of course, we are very mindful. You know, the Axis transaction to a great extent is consummated. We'll wait for the balance 0.98 to be done, which hopefully should be done over you know, next few months, and we will initiate then the process of the restructure. My sense is that it will take anywhere between 18 months to 24 months because this involves NCLT process, etc. We remain committed and we will pursue that journey as time progresses.
Sure, sir. Very helpful. Just a follow-up on the margin front. So for the coming year, would your guidance remain at the similar level which you had highlighted earlier, or should we expect, you know, a slightly higher range now?
The market is very dynamic. So, you know, I would restrain myself to give you an exact number generally. We are looking at a sales growth of high teens, and the objective will be to grow faster than the market so that we are capturing market share more and more. And on VNB growth, hence, we will definitely be teens, which will be either at the same level of growth as sales or marginally lower. So that's the target that I'll give. Let me not push myself to give you an exact margin number because things are very dynamic. There are things changing in the regulatory space. There are, of course, product mix related things that we need to manage throughout the year. So let's keep it at that level for the time being.
All right, sir. Thank you. This is very helpful. And all the best for everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Shreya Shivani from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have one question, trying to understand that the great agency addition that you have done this year. Max has always had the highest agent productivity on street. So for these agents which you've onboarded this year, as in by the end of FY24, fair to say that the productivity increase would come through FY25 or it takes more time than 1 year? If some clarity on that would be useful. And also another question is the banca channel this year only grew at 12%. And given that this base, what kind of improvement or that we could expect in FY25 on the low base of banca channel for this year? These are my two questions. Thank you.
Yeah, of course, when you hire the agents, some of them increase their productivity and hence our bet on agency remains fairly high. And we are very optimistic about continuing to drive growth in agency going forward. As far as bank channels are concerned, we are going to put the best foot forward, completely enthused about, Axis's participation in our business. They've increased participation in our board and I think the overall collective ownership. So, we will work very aggressively on the bank side also. With new partners that we signed up, I think the overall optimism on bank side will be more than how it was in FY24.
Got it. And is it fair to say that next year also your agency and probably prop channel will manage to do better than banca or will we see... some growth pickup in banca?
That's the intent. If you were to look at our prop channel growth rate on adjusted FI basis over the last 5 years, it is 21%, which is quite remarkable. And we hope that we are able to maintain that kind of growth rate or better.
Got it. That's useful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congrats on a great set of numbers. Just extending the previous question on Axis Bank growth next year, there has been, with the Citi acquisition, there is Tata that has come in. Aditya Birla is something that Axis Bank has tied up. So how do you see the wallet share kind of, moving to Max Life? And also given the challenges on Axis Bank having to raise deposits, how do you kind of look at this entire piece of Axis Bank given these contours? Secondly, on the non-par business, what kind of pricing action we would have taken in possibly Q4 or afterwards? And what is the kind of profitability, product level profitability that would have changed in FY24 versus currently?
So answering the easier question first, on non-par, all our products, large products stand revised. We have increased the rates because the yield curves have altered. And it just shows our commitment to preserve our margins. So we have increased our rates to ensure that the margin is protected. As far as the growth from banca channels are concerned, of course, there is a banking ecosystem and the push for increasing deposits, etc., is very common in the bank space. You would have noticed that not just our bank where we saw 12% growth, but overall as a bank ecosystem, the insurance sales was a bit tepid last year. But hopefully, going forward, the push on driving fee income will be equally important, and that gives me optimism that the growth from Axis Bank will be either at the same level or better. On in terms of Citi acquisition, I would like to share with you that we do participate on that counter, and yes, you're right. The bank counter has been opened to Tata, which got opened in the month of December. And I think for Aditya Birla, it is going to happen very soon. The participation of these two new players is not on pan-India basis. It is restricted to certain geographies. The bank's stated stance on counter share for Max Life Insurance is between 65 to 70%, and it was very publicly communicated by the management of Axis Bank. I think we must look at that corridor, and any which way is that a very healthy mix of counter share that Max Life Insurance should expect. So I remain optimistic despite inclusion of a new player in the month of December. Our counter share remained at 70%, and I'm just we'll work towards either preserving or keeping at the same level or marginally lower at Axis Bank counter, either which way is not materially impacting the sales growth for us from Axis Bank.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
On the second question that you asked, you answered too.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from Madhukar Ladha from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. First, I think on the economic variance, you mentioned that because interest rates went down, the liabilities got repriced, and as a result, the mark-to-market even on your bond book sort of fell short to cover that, right? And hence, that's why we have a negative variance also because of the interest rate movement. I was just wondering over here that shouldn't the policyholders' liabilities already be covered by adequate hedges, and your shareholders' fixed income book should still have resulted in a positive variance? So, that would be my expectation. Maybe you can help me understand this better. Second, if I look at your shareholder or back book surplus, sorry, that also the growth over there has come off in this year. So last year we were at about 1563 crores. This year we are at about 1627 crores. So why has that happened, and is it also getting impacted by the operating variance or the tightening of operating assumptions that we've done in this year, and maybe even the increased liability also because of the rate movement, is that impacting the back book surplus as well? That's the second question. And your VNB has a negative mix and margins, does that include the same reasons, which is like the group credit life portfolio negative variance and the persistency assumption change, right? These things, are they the similar reasons which are sort of impacting both the EV walk and the VNB walk? I just wanted to get a clarification on that.
Madhukar, I think some of the questions you have answered yourself in the your hypothesis itself. I'll take the easy one first. The back book surplus decline, you're right. It is to link with assumption tightening, which has kind of had an impact. Also, last year we in the back book surplus, if you see an unusual growth, so there is a bit of a base effect also, which is in play in back book surplus. Your economic variance, you're absolutely right. As the yields have come off, the liabilities have increased, which has to be adjusted for. Now, our net worth as a percentage of EV is, and you're right, within the shareholder portion of it, this gives a positive variance because those assets are actually free and not covering a particular liability. But that proportion is much smaller than the overall negative that comes on the policyholder side. And that's the reason why I shared, you know, that that the even though there is a positive 485 crores of positive equity variance, there is an equivalent negative debt variance also which has come into play. Lastly, on VNB, the actually assumption change there has not had such a material impact because most of these products, when they get priced, we are cognizant of some of these things. And at the time of pricing itself, we make those corrections. And large part of our VNB does go through of many recently priced products during the year. The large part of the variance there is to do with product mix. And in certain categories of annuities and protection, there is some bit of margin shrinkage as well. But largely the answer lies in product mix variance, which has happened in...
Understood. Just dwelling a little further on the economic variance. So the liability side repricing on the policyholders or the policyholders sort of liability repricing, that should ideally be hedged, right? And that should ideally have been sort of covered by whatever FRAs or partially paid bonds or any other or the funds that you've already received towards that, or is it sort of unhedged, and maybe you can help me understand that actually.
So yeah, from a perspective of the hedge part of your liability, your understanding is correct. It is, of course, immune to, since it's hedged, so it's immune to the movement in interest rate, but it's also a function of the different product mix, which may be primarily the, as Amrit rightly pointed out at the beginning of the call, that it is mainly to do with the single premium business on group side, annuity side, where you know, you have received the premium and the assets are invested upfront. So depending on that product mix, mix of that business within the portfolio, the movement could be different. So hence is a function of the shape of the curve, how it has changed. It's not a parallel shift. Second, it's a function of various products, categories and the mix of assets backing those. Hence, if you look at the overall impact, it does. So for the hedge part of the business, you're right. The impact is more or less immune to movement in interest rate.
Understood. And one final question. What would be the positive economic variance of the shareholder's fixed income book?
Maybe I can kind of provide that to you separately. I don't have that number at this point in time, but I can provide that to you separately.
Understood. Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Madhu sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Nishin Chawate from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Actually, two questions. One was on the group protect side. You know, did you slow down consciously this quarter?
Group credit life has done very well for us, actually. We've been growing that quite significantly. We have grown around 59% for the full year.
Question on GPL.
Is the question on group term life? Question?
Yeah, the overall group protection.
So we can break group in two parts. The group credit life, where we have seen very good growth. We have 59% year-on-year, which is significantly higher than the industry, and we are trying to build that book. Group term life, any which ways, is a very tactical play for us. So, you know, we're not huge players, and neither do we intend to become very huge. You know, we saw a good growth of 25% on year-on-year basis, but quarter four slowed down a bit for us, which is okay. I think the competition in that space is very severe, and you know, we don't write on business at you know, at on deals which we don't believe will generate enough outcomes for us.
You said that 59% growth is for the year or for the quarter?
59% growth was for the year.
For
group credit life. Do we have the number for quarter four? I think even quarter four. Quarter four number is
168%.
Oh, that's very bad.
Yeah. Upwards of 150% growth for the quarter four in group credit life.
And if you can just share the absolute number of group credit business that you've done for the year.
Actually, that also has been provided on the slide. If you go to slide in the investor deck, can you just slide me to that? Yeah, it's on page number 13. Oh, you want the group credit life separately.
Nishin will allow us to send it to you separately if that is okay with you. It's not
perfect,
handy.
Perfect. Just one or two more questions. You know, on the online property side, if you could just sort of, you know, help us recollect what all does it include.
I think I think it does include all the aggregators business as well as business that comes on our website.
Got it. And then what is the right to win in this business? I mean, if you've grown at 80% in this business, you know, how do we think about you know, this growth continuing going forward, and what is the right to win?
I think it's a very dynamic area, and the only thing that should give you a confidence of ability to constantly execute. If you were to look at our growth over the last 5 years, the growth rate has remained similar. We must be growing at the rate of 50% for the last 4-5 years. Actually, this business has grown 6-7 times over the last 5 years, maybe more. So I think the right to win is a very dynamic approach to the market. Of course, if you were to break it into two parts, firstly looking at protection, where we have been market leaders, it's a combination of the claims experience, your ability to underwrite faster, looking at newer cohorts, innovation, as well as appropriate pricing. Those are things for the right to win. If you were to look at savings market, of course, savings market is again very dynamic, and your ability to constantly innovate, come up with offerings which are attractive to the customers, and leveraging every possible opportunity, including ULIP, is the right to win. So, you know, it's a core ability on innovation, on agility, on creating great journeys for the customers, as well as product designs which appear attractive. Those are things that I will say are key competencies.
And if your growth in, you know, other bank assurance partnerships, which again, you know, have, you know, face competition with other insurers, and you know, the online the online proprietary is sort of faster than the company growth, then you would probably, you know, kind of you know, constantly have this pressure of higher payouts, right? Because these channels will typically be higher payouts and probably on a lower margin than the rest of the other two channels.
You mean the online channels?
Yeah, so I mean both online proprietary as well as other bank assurance partnerships. Now both are channels in which you are kind of competing with you know, other insurers head on. So
yeah, of course. Well, of course you're competing, but at the end of the day, what plays a big role is you know, what kind of product mix are you able to maintain? Which are the areas where you're winning? And with a combination of protection as well as savings collectively, I think you stand a fair chance of making reasonable profits for the company, and which is the strategy that we follow. So if one were to choose to write only savings and that too in ULIP, etc., which is hugely attractive to the customer, maybe the margin profile will go down. So, you know, at the end of the day, the answer lies in balancing the product mix.
No, so the point I'm trying to make is that these two channels are growing at a faster pace than Axis Bank and, you know, the agency or offline proprietary, as you call it, right? And typically the margins in these two channels would be lower than, you know, the Axis Bank and offline proprietary. So, you know, in that sense, faster growth in these channels would probably, you know, directionally put more pressure on margins. You know,
yeah, but, you know, of course, there are multiple other ways to do that by, I mean, really maybe at a channel level, you know, for example, cost of acquisition level, maybe you're right, but at the end of the day, you're adding so many customers to your franchise, which, you know, potentially you could cross-sell at some point of time. and look at maybe lifetime value of some of these customers. So at this point of time, I will say we're not so fussed about channel level margins and whether we need to grow a channel or not. I think what we're trying to do is figuring out ways to preserve our margins. For example, add more GCL to our books, looking at growing our agency, constantly working on mix on other channels, etc. And that's the strategy that we will follow. Increasing riders, more attachments of riders to our protection. Those are things that we are trying.
Got it. Thank you very much and all the best.
Nishin, just because you asked that question and I have that number now. Group credit life was around 1,122 crores. This is single premium.
For the year.
Yeah. Group term life was around 301 crores for the year.
301 crores for the year. Okay, then that is up 59% year over year. That's what it is.
Thank you. Next question is from Sanket Goda from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. See, sorry for hopping on this economic variance number. I mean, if you look at the other insurance companies, they typically reported 4 to 5% positive economic variance number in the current year, but our number is negative. I still not able to understand why this number is negative. Is it largely because you did more annuity in the current year and ALM mismatched cropped up in the business because of the annuity business? And therefore, the negative operating variance has come because it's still very difficult to comprehend that it's a negative number. Given for others, it is 3.5 to 5% positive in economic variance, and you're operating the same macro. So that's point number one. The second question is that your individual protection growth is very solid in the first quarter. Now, honestly, if I look at it from the full year point of view, you are even bigger than IPRU and HDFC Life in absolute rupees crores in premium number. You are market leader if I take it as a pure term. Just wanted to understand this business growth is largely driven because you have some change in your reinsurance treaties or your ability to underwrite has become more smoother than what it was in the past. And what is leading to that growth? Because your growth seems to be very high. I mean, if you can give a little color there, it will be useful. And lastly, on the online business, which has done very well, you indicated the point, but if you can break down that growth into your own website and maybe third-party channel like PB or any web aggregator in that sense.
Firstly, you're asking a question on non-operating variance comparison with the competition. I can only hypothesize.
I'm saying economic
EV has elements of many layering there. And I can only, and I said this before in the call also, I think no two EVs are comparable in that particular manner. You'll have to look at percentage of unit link business in some of these players, and further within unit link business, what is the percentage of equity for one player versus another, because that has a bearing on, the positive effects of equity coming through. You should also look at percentage of shareholder net worth as a proportion of embedded value, because on the shareholder side, any of these variances will be a positive variance. And further, again, there also components of equity becomes important. And lastly, then you have to look at the nature of the EVs others have with respect to quantum of single premium that they are writing. Because single premium, immediately you lock in. So you get that realization as positive because of the changes that has come through. So I'll just say that, these are actually computed the way we compute, and the economic variance is the predominant reason, and these are transitory in nature. And I'll kind of stop at that. I will not be able to give you a specific answer that why, another player is higher and why we are low, because I won't have insight.
But just a small thing. In annuity, are we largely deferred annuity, and that's why we are not getting that benefit of what others would have got?
Sanket, we just started writing annuity business in this particular year. EV comprises of multi-years of business that have got written.
Yeah.
Even if that is higher, it won't have that kind of an impact.
See, why I'm asking again, sorry to harp on that point, your economic variance number in the past broadly was in sync with the other players. This year is completely off. So I'm still finding it very difficult to comprehend. That's the only reason I'm asking it. Mm.
At this point in time, I've already explained, you know, the...
On protection business and it will be online, you can explain, it will be soon, yeah.
Yeah, so I think protection, as we have been calling it out, that among two segments of choices that we want to grow, protection, health and annuity are large opportunities available in India to continuously, you know, keep penetrating better into. So in line with that strategy and also the fact that last few years were a bit slow from a protection business perspective, just some of that has kind of come into play and we have seen the growth of protection business happening for us. Obviously, it is supported by some bit of easing that has been happening over the last entire, I'll say, ever since COVID got over with respect to underwriting ease coming into picture as more and more confidence gets built into the kind of lives being onboarded, the kind of underwriting happening, and the kind of mortality experiences that are evident in the books. Those have helped, provide the necessary support to protection growth as well. And we continue to be very positive about individual protection business and, we will continue remaining focused on growing this faster than other category growth rates.
At product level, we are maintaining the same margin or we at the expense of growth, we are okay to compromise bit on margin? In protection, I mean to say.
Look, I mean, at the end of the day, VNB growth is what we are trying to optimize for. And even in protection, there are instances, but it's not like a sharp decline. It has to do with certain segments of choice that you try to win in, whether you're operating greater than 2 crore sum assured market or you know, any other, some of those markets. But if you ask me a very pointed question, did we see some shrinkage we have seen. I won't call it a very significant shrinkage in the margins.
Perfect. And on the online business, that's 79% growth.
So online business actually, as you know, we do significant portion through our own assets called maxlifeinsurance.com. And there there is continuous bias on driving, higher margin product forms like protection and health kind of businesses. And on aggregator business, which have an element of variability, we are actually open experimenting with both savings and protection market as well. And a reasonable part of the growth momentum in this particular year has also come out of our now strong presence in the savings market. Historically, you are aware that we have been a strong player in the e-commerce protection side where we have held on to pole position for many years, which has maintained in this particular year itself. But the year saw us entering into the savings market quite significantly, where we were around 10-12% market share. Last year, we moved to almost 22-23% kind of market share in the online space in the savings market as well. And some of this happened on the back of a fair bit of constant innovation on products and also, you know, the launches of various funds that we did during the year. So, which is what you will see then, I mean, giving that answer, web aggregators have grown much faster than own channels, but largely because of the category that they entered into, which category was not in our base in last year's perspective.
Perfect. Got it, Amrit. Thanks for your answer.
Thank you. Next question is from Supratim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I had two follow-up questions. One is on the product innovation side. This year we have seen a lot of product innovation happen on, you know, protection or, you know, the health category. Going forward, you know, over the next 1 year, which are the categories, you know, do you think that there is opportunity to introduce new products or, you know, gaps or, you know, plug gaps? Yeah, you know, that could be one. And then, you know, the second question is on the regulatory environment. We have seen, you know, multiple regulatory changes happen over the last 1.5 years. If you could, you know, talk about, you know, how do you see the regulatory environment, you know, playing out over the next, you know, 1 to 2 years, you know, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
So innovation opportunities exist. I mean, at the end of the day, the categories are quite well defined. You have the par designs, the non-par designs, the annuity designs, protection designs, etc. But within that, there's always an innovation possibility either on features or stories or cash flows, and those are things that we continuously do. So, of course, there are possibilities. For example, last year, there were several things that we did, and one of them was our product Seva, which has done very well and is a reason for our growth in the protection and health segment. So of course, there is a pipeline of product, and in our organization, rather than telling you where all it will come from, I would like to spend time on in telling you how we approach innovation. So generally, there is a team dedicated to innovation. There are panels which are created with customers, the research team, the distributor, distribution partners, and constant engagement takes place. We are continuously in dialogue with our partners who have better visibility in their customer segments. We are continuously looking at new segments where we could go to. So if you ask me, some of that will yield outcome and will keep us on the journey of innovation. Of course, there is a calendar looking at several areas. We are looking at innovation in the area of protection. We are looking at innovation in the area of non-par. And some of that will come through as we go along. On your second question with respect to regulatory landscape, I would say the regulatory regime under our respected chairman, Mr. Panda, is perhaps the most favorable I've seen in many years, with an exception to some of these ongoing discussions which are taking place. That too, I'm very hopeful that, it will create a win-win for the industry. I think the steps that the regulator is taking is for long-term growth of the industry. If you were to go through the flexibilities that got created, be it around product or distribution or, governance or principle-based movement, simplification of compliance, capital, listing, everything that you see is quite favorable. So with that posture, regulatory posture, I'm very optimistic that as we go along, we will have a supporting environment.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have one last question. We take the last question from the line of Bhuvnesh Garg from Magma Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. On two questions. Firstly, on EV side of it. So in the case of economic variance, so how should we look at it going forward? For example, if similar scenario plays out in next some year in the future, would our EV economic variance would play out in a similar way, or are we going to change our strategy on this? Yeah, that's my first question.
So there is no strategy on economic variance. It is generally hold to maturity, and that's why these are called non-operating variances. And as the market moves, they will move up and down. And there won't be any inconsistency in the way it is computed and reported out. So if there is a change and there are many elements of it, the curve, etc., it will find its way reversing back itself in non-operating variance as well.
Sure. Thanks. And second question is on commissions. And now we have Axis Bank has infused capital in the company. So do you see any possibility of change in commission structure with Axis Bank? Any thoughts on that?
I think the commission structures will remain how they have been, and we expect a stable environment with respect to commissions with Axis Bank.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team for closing comments.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being on our call. And we look forward to more such interactions. Good night to everyone.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Max Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.